following program is intended for mature audiences.
Get off the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
So, what do you expect from a circus? Elephants and clowns. When the elephants are Republicans and the so-called president, the clown prince, out to purposely destroy our democratic republic in exchange for the kleptocracy it now is, you get a revolving door government of people leaving who are too corrupt or too derelict even for it, or too trustworthy, expert for Trump, who won't allow them to stay. Tonight, Savino Veritas chronicles the 50 top-level administration people who either resigned, retired, refused to serve, or was fired from the Trump's failing White House, now in shambles. Enjoy Asses to Asses, Dust to Dust. This is Tom Savino.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
I alone can fix it.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Nine of 12 members of the National Park System Advisory Board quit Tuesday, citing concern over the Trump administration's priorities. That, according to a letter to Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, obtained by CNN. Most of the members resigning had terms expiring in May. Their letter says they have not been able to meet with Zinke and the Interior Department during his first year on the job, saying, quote, their requests to engage have been ignored. Former Alaska Governor Tony Knowles, a Democrat who wrote the letter, says previous administrations met with the board immediately. The Interior Department has yet to comment.
Yet another bombshell shakes the foundation of the Trump administration. Mr. Trump's controversial chief strategist forced out after a short and stormy tenure at the White House.
You know, I can run a little hot on occasions.
Bannon's departure comes at the end of a brutal week for the administration.
Friends and co-workers tonight tell NBC News two factors are behind Andrew McCabe's abrupt move to step down as deputy director. First, wariness at steady criticism from President Trump. NBC News has learned those tensions flared the night the president fired James Comey, who was out of town. He watched Comey return to Washington on a government plane.
General Advisor Gary Cohn has officially resigned. We'd heard.
So Sebastian Gorka has resigned. White House officials are confirming. Now, this is significant in the fact that many of you guys have seen Sebastian Gorka on TV. He was an advisor to the president. He had a habit of making controversial comments and at times even undermining other members of the Trump administration when he would do these interviews on television. But one thing that was really notable about him and his tenure is that no one really seemed to know what issues he was working on. When you talk to people who were working at the National Security Council, they would say that Sebastian Gorka wasn't really involved in discussions, he wasn't really involved in decisions there, and yet he billed himself as a national security advisor to the president. Now look, we know that John Kelly, the chief of staff, has sort of been taking a look at everyone's positions in the White House. He's been running through what their job is, whether they are in a good position to serve the president. And so it's possible this was a mutual decision. We don't have a lot of details yet about why Sebastian Gorka decided to resign tonight. But frankly, this is something that people have been talking about over the last couple of weeks. And certainly a question that got even louder after Steve Bannon was ousted is, could Sebastian Gorka be the next one to leave? And now it seems that is correct.
News tonight of another resignation from the Trump administration. It's the man who was the chief of external affairs for AmeriCorps, the federal government's volunteer service organization that connects volunteers with service opportunities in some of the nation's poorest areas. An investigation by CNN's K-File found that the appointee, Carl Higbee, who we should point out has been a guest on this and other news networks, had a pattern of making racist, sexist, anti-Muslim, and anti-gay comments on radio broadcasts stretching back years. Just two examples. He told listeners black Americans had, quote, lax morals, and another time declared that he hated gay people, apparently talking about all gay people, every one of them. Higbee was the host of a radio program called Sound of Freedom.
I guess the first question, why? Why is Hopex leaving?
Well, I was actually listening to you talking about everything she had been through with him, and it really reminds you of this is a grueling and in many ways terrible job.
Donald Trump's no good, very bad week is getting worse by the hour, with jaw-dropping headline after jaw-dropping headline. According to Axios today, after a crazy 24 hours, sources close to President Trump say he's in a bad place. Mad as hell about the internal chaos and the sense that things are unraveling. Hope Hicks leaving is obviously a huge blow to him. Every time he reads about Attorney General Sessions, his head explodes. The people he genuinely enjoys and feels close to are gone. Keith Schiller, leaving, Hope, or getting pounded in the press. Jared. And about that pounding, more brutal headlines for Kushner. The New York Times reporting, quote, Kushner's family business received loans after White House meetings. This blurring of lines is now a potential liability for Mr. Kushner, who recently lost his top secret security clearance amid worries from some U.S. officials that foreign governments might try to gain influence with the White House by doing business with Mr. Kushner.
Everybody wants to work in the White House.
All right, we do have breaking news about a staff shakeup at the White House. Let's go straight to our Joe Johns. He joins us from the White House. What are you learning?
Omarosa Manigault Newman, better known as Omarosa to people who like to watch The Apprentice when Donald Trump was on the show, came here to the White House to work communications for the Office of Public Liaison. We are told by Sarah Sanders, the press secretary, that she will be leaving the White House effective January 20th of 2018. That'll be 1 year after the president was inaugurated. It is said that she is going to pursue other opportunities. We do know, among other things, that Omarosa essentially got married not too long ago. Her husband, of course, works in the southern United States. He's a minister. And it was very clear that she was doing a lot of traveling, for one thing. So she, we are told, has turned in her resignation. The circumstances of that resignation are not clear. We do know that she was close to the president and got his ear whenever she needed to, though there were some issues, of course, with the chief of staff, who John Kelly, who has spent a lot of time trying to limit the ability of people to go and sit down and talk to the president at every given turn.
Rachel Brand is the associate attorney general. She's the number three official at the Justice Department, and she would be the person who would be next in line if Rod Rosenstein resigns or is fired. Obviously, there's been a lot of speculation about that because we know President Trump has. Rachel Brand is the associate attorney general. She's the number three official at the Justice Department, and she would be the person who would be next in line if Rod Rosenstein resigns or is fired. Obviously, there's been a lot of speculation about that because we know President Trump has been very angry at Rod Rosenstein on the handling of the Mueller investigation, the Russia investigation. But now the New York Times is reporting that Rachel Brand is planning to step down. This is after only being on the job about 9 months. And so, Wolf, the question now is, why is she stepping down?
Capping off a tumultuous week in Washington at the White House, which began with the president attacking his sitting attorney general.
Very disappointed with the attorney general.
Went on to include tweets about transgender service in the military and ended with a really humiliating defeat of health care on the floor of the United States Senate. happened this week and finally led to the moment when President Trump replaced his chief of staff, Reince Priebus, with a new chief of staff, John Kelly, the Secretary of Homeland Security. Probably the most unusual thing about this announcement was the way it happened. It happened on Twitter.
Great place to work. It's got tremendous energy.
Another really interesting wrinkle in this story is the arrival of Anthony Scaramucci as the new communications director, who very shortly thereafter made a series of profane comments to a reporter about Mr. Priebus, really deriding him, saying that he should be fired, saying that he had leaked information. The amazing thing was, instead of Mr. Scaramucci being disciplined for the kind of language that he had used, instead the president essentially all but rewarded him, doing exactly the thing that Mr. Scaramucci had called for by firing Reince Priebus. Mr. Priebus had never been a natural fit for this White House. He was a more establishment Republican. The president had made fun of him on occasion, had sort of joked about firing him in the past. Throughout Washington, there was always a sense that he was teetering on the edge of whether he was going to be in the position or not. Mr. Trump has turned to John Kelly, the current Secretary of Homeland Security, but really the thing that appeals to the president about Mr. Kelly is probably more his military background. He'd been one of these storied generals over the last several decades. President Trump has often said he likes the generals. He's somebody who is sort of central casting of the kind of person that President Trump thinks should be in charge. Another one bites
the dust. But they all want to be in the White House. So many people want to come, and I have a choice of anybody. I could take any position in the White House. Another
one bites the dust. And another one. So I'm going to be very brief. Another one bites the dust. I love the president. But I love the president. I love the president.
Somebody said to me yesterday, I won't tell you who, that if the Russians actually hacked this situation and spilled out those emails, you would have never seen it.
I don't know who this anonymous person is that said that if the Russians had actually done it, we wouldn't have been able to detect it. But it is
How about it was the president?
Reince and I have been personal friends for 6 years. We are a little bit like brothers. You guys are going to be very, very surprised about the relationship that I have with Reince and the closeness that we're going to have.
As you know from the Italian expression, the fish stinks from the head down. But I can tell you two fish that don't stink, okay? And that's me and the president. Reince wants to explain that he's not a leaker. Let him do that.
I want to read part of what Scaramucci said to you. Quote, Reince is a blanking paranoid schizophrenic, a paranoiac. He said. He channeled Priebus as he spoke. Oh, Bill Shine is coming in. Let me leak the blanking thing and see if I can blank block these people the way I blank blocked Scaramucci for 6 months.
You want to talk about the chief of staff? We have had odds. We have had differences. I don't know if this is repairable or not. That will be up to the president.
The president certainly felt that Anthony's comments were inappropriate for a person in that position.
And I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position. Everybody wants to be there.
Press Secretary Sean Spicer has resigned within the last hour. Our Eamon Javers is at the White House with the very latest on that developing story. Eamon.
Scott, you're right. A moment of uncertainty here at the White House, though. A little bit unclear what to expect next. White House officials giving us some indication that there will be a press briefing this afternoon, but officials declining to say who it is who will brief the press. The reports are that Anthony Scaramucci, a longtime CNBC contributor who's well familiar to your audience and to your traders on your desk, Scott, has been brought in as the communications director here at the White House, replacing Sean Spicer and replacing Mike Dubke, who left a few months ago from his position here. We'll wait to see when these meetings break up that we believe are going on right now in Sean Spicer's office or in the area surrounding the Oval Office to see what the official word is. But officials have been telling us that, in fact, they will have a statement, they will have a briefing, but not answering questions about who it is who's going to conduct that briefing later on this afternoon. Scott.
Yeah, Eamon, as you said, and sort of dare I say, we know Anthony as well as anybody from his time,
right,
not only as a regular on this program, but as a contributor to the network and a contributor on many of the shows here. Knowing him like you do and the way we do, what do you think it says about what the White House wants to do to evolve its communication strategy?
Well, number one, it says change, Scott. This is somebody who's coming in from Wall Street, not from Washington, who's coming in without sort of the detailed communications background the traditional White House press secretaries have, but somebody who brings energy, business experience, and loyalty above all to Donald Trump to this job. That's clearly what the president is signaling here. He wanted a fresh change in his staff, even above and beyond the objections from some of his closest aides inside the White House. We're told there was a real scrap here in terms of what would happen in terms of whether or not Scaramucci would get this job. There was a meeting at 10 o'clock this morning at the White House in the Oval Office in which they hashed all this out. And we believe what has happened is that Scaramucci is in and Spicer is out as a result of that meeting. And I think you can expect a total change in tone and possibly a total change in personnel, at least on the White House communications team.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the story. Eamon, you stay with us. Anthony Scaramucci, no stranger to the White House.
And they loved this White House because we have energy like rarely before.
Jake, just as soon as we said that, we do indeed have breaking news here that the Secretary Tom Price has indeed resigned. Just as we were told it would happen that he would resign, I'm told the president is prepared, of course, to accept this resignation here. This, again, as we heard, was about optics, was about the whole idea of draining the swamp, saving taxpayers' money. Simply was not done in this case. The president was disappointed, was furious at him. He was also, of course, Tom Price was the longtime House member, the physician who was supposed to lead the health care reform effort. That, of course, failed. He never was able to get that off the ground, and either the House or the Senate did not play that big of a role. So he now has offered his resignation. He has resigned, and of course, the president, we're expecting to accept that resignation. Another one buys the dust. Hey.
And that's not all that's going on at the White House. A second White House official has resigned over allegations of domestic abuse. Speechwriter David Sorensen denies the accusations, but he stepped down anyway. The resignation comes just days after White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter abruptly quit after a photo surfaced of his then-wife with a black eye.
But they all want to be in the White House. So many people want to come in. I have a choice of anybody. I can take any position in the White House, and I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position.
You mentioned a second ago about the circumstances surrounding the U.S. ambassador to Panama. What's the story there?
Well, I mean, as you said, this came in December, and the U.S. ambassador freely said in a letter to the White House in December that essentially he could not serve this administration, could not serve this president. When he joined the Foreign Service years ago as a junior officer, his mentors told him, you know, you are bound to serve any president regardless of party. And if you can't do that, then the time is for you to resign. And he writes in his resignation letter that that time is now. You know, it says he's leaving the embassy in good hands. The Panama relationship is strong, but felt he just couldn't serve this president. And the State Department essentially saying, you know, we respect that you have lines that you can't cross, that we appreciate that you have a moral compass, and you needed to do what you feel is right.
Believe me, everybody wants to work in the White House.
This was a dramatic day of testimony. Sally Yates, in effect, explaining that there was an urgent danger, which is why just 6 days after President Trump took office, she alerted his administration about Michael Flynn, that he was putting the White House at risk by concealing his discussions about sanctions with Russia's ambassador.
This morning, the Trump team's possible ties to Russia again under scrutiny.
To state the obvious, you don't want your national security advisor compromised with the Russians.
Former acting attorney General Sally Yates, an Obama administration holdover on the Capitol Hill hot seat. For the first time, Yates detailing how she warned President Trump's White House counsel during two meetings and a phone call in late January about then National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's conversations with the Russian ambassador.
The first thing we did was to explain to Mr. McGahn that the underlying conduct that General Flynn had engaged in was problematic in and of itself.
Yates alerting the White House that Flynn had not only misled the vice president and other officials,
but that the Russians knew.
That created a compromise situation, a situation where the National Security Advisor essentially could be blackmailed by the Russians.
Late Monday, President Trump unleashing a mini tweet storm, making no mention of Flynn, arguing that Yates' testimony revealed nothing new, and insisting the Russia collusion story is a total hoax, even changing his Twitter page to punctuate the point. Yates warning at least the second the White House received about Flynn. NBC News has learned that President Obama delivered his own personal warning to then-President-elect Trump against hiring Flynn during that Oval Office meeting less than 48 hours after the election, according to three former Obama administration officials. At the time, Flynn was already a key advisor to Mr. Trump. The Obama administration had fired him from his post as head of the Defense Intelligence Agency in 2014. The White House on Monday suggesting that history prompted President Obama's advice, which Mr. Trump essentially dismissed.
But it's true that the president made it, President Obama made it known that he wasn't exactly a fan of General Flynn's, which is frankly shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone.
President Trump has defended his decision to hire Michael Flynn by blaming the Obama administration, saying they gave Flynn the highest security clearance. Flynn's clearance was renewed in 2016, but he was never granted that additional broader security clearance that he would have needed to serve as National Security Advisor. Still unanswered this morning, why 18 days passed between that warning from Sally Yates and President Trump ultimately firing Michael Flynn. Another one buys the
dust. I know the best people.
Another one buys the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one buys the dust. Hey.
You have to watch out because people will be asking you to do things you need, just need to say no about. You think the Attorney General has a responsibility to say no to the president if he asks for something that's improper? But if the views the president wants to execute are unlawful, should the Attorney General or the Deputy Attorney General say no?
Senator, I believe that the Attorney General or the Deputy Attorney General has an obligation to follow the law and the Constitution and to give their independent legal advice to the president.
Well, that's true. And like any CEO with a law firm, sometimes the lawyers have to tell the CEO, Mr. CEO, you can't do that. Don't do that. We'll get a suit. It's going to be in violation of the law. You'll regret it. Please, no matter how headstrong they might be. Do you feel like that's the duty of the Attorney General's office?
I do believe that that's the duty of the Attorney General's office. Another one buys the dust. Hey, we're going to get
to another one buys the dust. President Donald Trump's National Security Advisor has resigned. Retired General Michael Flynn turned in his resignation late Monday night amid reports that he had misled Vice President Mike Pence and others about his contacts with Russia. Flynn's resignation letter said he'd had numerous calls with Russia's ambassador during the transition. Flynn initially said he didn't discuss sanctions with the Russian envoy, but later conceded the issue may have come up. Earlier Monday, two people familiar with the situation said the Justice Department had warned the Trump administration about Flynn's contacts with Russia. On Monday night, President Trump quickly named retired Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg acting National Security Advisor. Kellogg advised Trump on national security issues during the campaign. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
I know the best buys the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one buys the dust, hey.
9:45 p.m. on Friday night, Politico.com. Quote, Teresa Manning, the controversial official in charge of Title X federal family planning program, was escorted from the Department of Health and Human Services premises on Friday. Quote, staff members were told to leave the floor of the HHS building and take their computers in order to ensure that no one witnessed her being escorted out.
Another one buys the dust. I know the best people.
Another one buys the dust. Another one buys the dust.
Senior White House aide Katie Walsh is reportedly stepping down after less than 3 months on the job. Walsh has served as President Trump's deputy chief of staff since his administration began.
Another one buys the dust.
Everybody wants to be there.
Another one buys the dust. And another one gone.
Rick Dearborn, one of President Trump's top aides, will step down early next year to pursue private sector work, White House officials said, becoming the latest high-profile departure from the West Wing in recent weeks.
Another one buys the dust.
Rick loyally served the president for 2.5 years and brought tremendous energy to the White House staff. White House Chief of Staff John Kelly said, "He's a super guy and it breaks my heart to see him leave, but I look forward to his continued personal friendship and support for the president's agenda." A deputy chief of staff who oversaw the White House's political operation, public outreach, and legislative affairs, Mr. Dearborn will remain at the White House for the first month or two of next year, according to people familiar with the planning. Mr. Dearborn's decision comes after Dina Powell, the deputy national security advisor, informed President Trump earlier this month about her plans to leave in the new year. The White House is bracing for a raft of departures as the president hits the one-year mark in office. Mr. Dearborn has worked for Mr. Trump for more than 2 years. He helped set up the campaign's Washington office and was executive director of the presidential transition team after the election.
They all want a piece of that Oval Office. They want a piece of the West Wing. Gonna get to another one bites the dust.
Well, one of the things that he did was he appointed someone to the Drug Policy Office that is now at a very senior position. Let's find out who he is. A 24-year-old appointed to a top position in the White House Drug Policy Office has come under scrutiny in recent days for a scanty resume and lack of qualifications of post reports. Now, his name is Wayneth, and we're going to go to the Washington Post now because they have an explanation of his background. Now, but before we do, look, he's incredibly young. He's 24 years old. In fact, when he originally came to the White House, he was 23 years old. But maybe he's one of those kids who's a genius and he graduated from high school early and college really early. And he already has a wealth of experience. And so hence, having this 24-year-old whiz kid in the White House might do some good in tackling the opioid crisis. Let's find out if that's the case. So we go to the Washington Post. Wayne's only professional experience after college and before becoming an appointee was working on the Trump campaign and transition. Oh. So no whiz kid, no amazing stories from college, early graduation, nope. How about a world of experience? Nope, no experience, none. His only experience is working for Trump. Okay, it's gonna get way worse. Well, they said, no, to be fair, when he was in college, he was working with one particular law firm. Okay, well, let's go find out about that. While in college, late in 2014 and early 2015, Taylor Wayneth began working as a legal assistant at the New York firm O'Dwyer and Bernstein. He was discharged in August of 2015, partner Brian O'Dwyer said in an interview. So the one thing he had while still attending school, he was fired from. Oh boy. All right, let's find out why. In a resume initially submitted to the government, Wayneth said he worked at the firm until April 2016 when an FBI official called as part of a background check in January 2017. The firm said that he had left 8 months earlier than the resume indicated. O'Dwyer, the partner involved, said. Okay. Now look, if we're nitpicking some guy's resume who's got 12 years of experience, 24 years of experience, and he didn't work for as long as he said he did in one particular job, come on, get past it, right? So, but it's not that. One, the guy has no experience. Two, he was lying about this part of his resume. We'll see if there's other parts of the resume that he had issues with. Three, the only job he could point to is any experience, fired. So let's stay there for a second. So you go to Brian O'Dwyer. So what happened there? He says, quote, "We were very disappointed in what happened." He said, "Wayneth just didn't show." His only work experience, he got fired for not showing up.
I know the best people.
Donald Trump's like, oh, I'd like to destroy the White House office on drug policy. So just like I'm doing with every department. The guy who sued the EPA 14 times and wants to destroy it, I'm going to make him the head of the EPA. The guy who once said the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was, quote, a sick, sad joke that he'd like to destroy, we'll make him the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Department of Energy, Rick Perry wanted to get rid of it, made him the head of the Department of Energy. In this case, drug policy and opioid abuse. It's like, I don't care, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect any of my donors. I do what my donors tell me. My donors are not interested in this. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take a 23-year-old kid, make him the deputy head of this organization. A huge role with no experience. Why? His main qualification is he doesn't show up to things. Perfect. Perfect. It's not the bug. That's the feature. Let's go to other parts of the resume. One, because it gives you a fuller picture, but two, because it's comical. Weymouth left unchanged a portion of his resume that indicated that he had a master's degree from Fordham University, though a university official told the Post he has not finished his coursework. So I actually was too kind to him in my original summation. He didn't even finish college. Bunch of absolute clowns. Yeah, I mean, are you surprised you showed up to the circus and what are they, what's the tent filled with? Clowns. Of course. Hey, we're gonna get you too, but another one bites the dust.
I know the best people. Another one bites the dust.
A senior White House aide on Wednesday said he would resign following allegations of domestic abuse from two ex-wives. White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter, seen here on the left, denied the accusations in a statement. These outrageous allegations are simply false. I have been transparent and truthful about these vile claims, but I will not further engage publicly with a coordinated smear campaign. The White House was quick to defend his reputation.
I can tell you that Rob has been an effective in his role as staff secretary, and the president and chief of staff have had full confidence and trust in his abilities and his performance.
Porter oversees much of the paperwork that goes to President Donald Trump for his signature. He often appears in the background, somewhat out of focus, in photos from the Oval Office. Here he is, maybe taking a selfie with economic advisor Gary Cohn.
I know the best people.
We're just getting word that the deputy national security advisor to the president, Dina Powell, is leaving the White House to return to New York. Sarah Sanders, the press secretary, issuing a statement. Dina Powell has been a key trusted advisor in this administration. She has always planned to serve 1 year before returning home to New York, where she will continue to support the president's agenda and work on Middle East policy. She will serve in the administration until early next year. That's a surprise because she was very much involved with Jared Kushner in this Israeli-Palestinian peace process, trying to get that off the ground. And the timing of this coming, just right after the Jerusalem announcement is a bit surprising.
For this White House, because we have energy like rarely before.
Another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, hey. Hey, we're gonna get you too, but another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone.
Everybody wants to be there.
Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, we're gonna get you too, but another one bites the dust.
I know the best people.
Deputy National Security Advisor KT McFarland has been asked to step down in another shakeup within President Trump's administration, according to a new report.
Another one bites the dust. Hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
I know the best people.
In a major White House shakeup, President Trump's chief strategist Steve Bannon on Wednesday losing his seat at the National Security Council. Bannon's removal from the influential post viewed as a major victory for Trump's National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster. The move reversing Trump's much-criticized decision to appoint Bannon, a political advisor, as a permanent member of the usually nonpartisan NSC. McMaster, a former Army general, apparently winning back full control of the council, which he took over after the ouster of Michael Flynn for lying about his contacts with Russian officials.
I know the best people.
Let's go! Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
They say the campaign against McMaster began in earnest after McMaster ousted the fifth of five controversial officials of the NSC who had been brought in by Flynn. Why Rich Higgins, a strategic planning aide who worked on the Trump campaign, was fired by McMaster is subject to debate. Some sources say he and others exemplify McMaster's view that Flynn hired unqualified, substandard staffers. But there's also the matter of this memo Higgins wrote, rife with conspiracy theories reminiscent of those in the fevered corners of the paranoid internet.
If you are on the McMaster side, you do not like this memo because you read it and you say, hey, is he talking about me? Is he talking about someone in leadership who may disagree with the president? Am I that guy?
The memo, obtained by foreignpolicy.com, purports to unravel a bizarre conspiracy theory about a coordinated effort between the establishment, the media, globalists, bankers, Islamists, Black Lives Matter, the ACLU, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, the United Nations, cultural Marxists, and the so-called deep state or permanent government apparatus. All of them, the memo claims, are banding together to delegitimize and destroy President Trump and prevent him from making America great again. Quote, for this cabal, the memo states, Trump must be destroyed.
To me, it was really a declaration of war on some of the choices for personnel. Let's
go. I know the best people.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey. Gonna get to do another one bites the dust.
This was a very closely kept secret here at the White House. I am told only a handful of top advisors knew this was coming, but I am told just moments ago that the president himself has been considering this, been thinking about this for at least a week. Did not necessarily have the rationale when they first started talking about this, but then asked the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General to look for that rationale and that explanation. And that is what we got this afternoon. But the timing of this, of course, so interesting, Aaron, because the Russian investigation, front and center, it is one of the things that aggravates this president more than anything at all. And as you were just reading in that short letter right there, I have a copy of it right here. It's just about five paragraphs long. The president saying that he was essentially vindicated by the, this Russian investigation, saying he was not a target of this investigation. He is trying to sort of, essentially set the record straight or close the books on this here, Aaron. But that is something that will definitely not happen. The books on this will remain wide open, regardless of who heads the FBI. This is going to keep this story alive, if nothing else, for some time to come. Interestingly, this news was delivered over to the FBI by, an old-fashioned way. The director of Oval Office Operations, the top aide to this president, went over to the FBI this afternoon to hand-deliver this. One problem with that, the FBI director himself is in on the West Coast this week, on California. So he found out about that at some point afterward. But no one in the Justice Department was expecting this. The phone calls went out around 5:30 this evening Eastern time, and the news broke shortly after that.
A great place to work. It's got tremendous energy.
Let's go. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Icahn is breaking ties with President Trump, saying the two spoke earlier. Remember, Carl Icahn was serving as an advisor.
Let's go!
I know the best people.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
I submitted my letter of resignation last night, which felt pretty good.
Now that's transparency in government. The nation's top spy, James Clapper, announcing he's quitting his job at a packed congressional hearing.
I got 64 days left.
Another one bites the dust.
Believe me, Everybody wants to work in the White House.
Another one buys the dust. Hey, we're gonna get to two. Another one buys the dust.
After the president fired FBI Director James Comey in May, we learned that he had been keeping notes on his conversations with the president when Comey says the president was pushing him to back off the investigation into Michael Flynn. One of the people James Comey told about those conversations with the president was Andrew McCabe, who Republicans are now pushing to have fired as the deputy director of the FBI. Another person James Comey told was the FBI's top lawyer, James Baker. We have now learned that James Baker, a potential corroborating witness for James Comey, top lawyer at the FBI, has been reassigned for some reason.
A great place to work. It's got tremendous energy.
Some breaking news to report right now on the effort to replace Michael Flynn as National Security Advisor. CBS News has confirmed that retired Vice Admiral Robert Harward has turned the job down. At issue, staffing. Harward wanted to bring in his own people. The Trump administration resisted. Harward is a former Navy SEAL who had previously served on the National Security Council. He had been considered a potentially stabilizing choice after Flynn was forced to resign after a series of misleading statements about his ties to Russia. It's not clear at this time who will become President Trump's new National Security Advisor. For more now on this, we want to go by phone to CBS News Radio.
A great place to work. It's got tremendous energy.
Let's go. Another one buys the dust. Another one buys the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one buys the dust. Hey. Gonna get to two, another one buys the dust.
Everybody wants to be there.
Head of the CDC has resigned after reports from Politico came out saying she bought tobacco stocks 1 month after taking office. That's right. This woman, Brenda Fitzgerald, the head of this agency, the one that is dedicated to saving lives and protecting people, the one that has an entire office dedicated to, quote, promote quitting among adults and youth, the one that is running a campaign to encourage and help people stop smoking, the one that even has a Twitter page called CDC Tobacco Free. And more generally, the company that is responsible for reducing tobacco use among Americans. The head of that company, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, bought a share in Japan Tobacco, which one ethics lawyer calls tone deaf, according to Politico. The stock was among about a dozen new investments she had made after she took the job.
I know the best people. They want a piece of the West Wing. A great place to work. It's got tremendous energy, but they all want to be in the White House. So many people want to come in. I have a choice of anybody. I could take any position in the White House, and I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position. Everybody wants to be there. And they love this White House because we have energy like rarely before.
Let's go. And another one gone, another one buys the dust.
the best people.
Let's go! A lot of people have left, and they're not even at the one-year mark. Turns out, though, there is a new person to add to that long list. When you look at the vice president's part of the White House, one of the things to note is that there's not a ton of staff who works for the vice president. Even so, Mike Pence has already lost four very senior people. He's lost his chief of staff, his press secretary. Then last week, we learned he lost his domestic policy director, and he lost his chief counsel. Well, now the addition is that his wife, Second Lady Karen Pence, she has lost her chief of staff as well. Now, I should tell you, out of the contemporaneous reporting that has been done on Mike Pence and his long career as a public servant, we can't find anybody who has ever described him or his wife as terrible people to work for. We don't know, but that's not at all how people publicly describe them. But even still, in this White House, a place that has a huge amount of turnover, there is an unusually large amount of turnover specifically on the vice president's side.
Believe me, everybody wants to work in the White House.
Let's go!
They all want a piece of that Oval Office. They want a piece of the West Wing.
Another one bites the dust.
We're getting some breaking news now. Walter Schaub Jr., the director of the U.S. Office of Government Ethics, has announced his resignation. Schaub was supposed to serve until next January, but he's clashed repeatedly with the Trump administration. He criticized the president during the transition for refusing to set up a blind trust, and since then over numerous potential conflicts of interest. In a statement, Schaub highlighted the principle that public service is a public trust. He had run the agency since 2013. It is not yet known who will replace him.
But they all want to be in the White House.
Another one bites the dust.
It seems to me that Gary Cohn is trying to be all things that you mentioned. I mean, he's leaving on a gracious note. There were, you know, affirmative comments all around from him, from General Kelly, from the president about the term he served.
Saw that, yeah. Maybe he comes back in the cabinet.
Well, exactly. We even heard some talk that, you know, he'll continue to talk to the president, as others have, you know, possibly including Steve Bannon on this issue, and that he would consider coming back. And the president had talked to him about maybe a different type of job now or down the road. So that possibility seems to be open. On the other hand, he made it clear that, he threatened to resign over this tariffs issue if it didn't go in the way that he thought best. And then, if you read our story, you'll see the president was quite annoyed, and the staff talked about how Cohn had made this about himself,
right,
as opposed
That's
to
bad.
The issue. Which and it may be bad or good, depending on your worldview, but it definitely doesn't sit well with President Trump.
Exactly.
A great place to work. It's got tremendous energy.
Let's go! Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey!
Now, all that's going on at the White House, a second White House official has resigned over allegations of domestic abuse. Speechwriter David Sorensen denies the accusations. He stepped down anyway. The resignation comes just days after White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter abruptly quit after a photo surfaced of his then-wife with a black eye. Yet when asked about it on Friday, President Trump seemed to give Porter the benefit of the doubt.
I know the best people. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey. We're gonna get to two. Another one bites the dust.
Let's go! Elaine
Duke, the number two official at the Department of Homeland Security, is stepping down from her post in the Trump administration. Duke, the agency's deputy secretary, who played a key role at the helm of DHS last year, is set to leave in April, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen announced Friday afternoon. In a statement, Nielsen said, quote, Elaine has selflessly served the federal government for 3 decades, and this department for more than 10 years spanning multiple secretaries. Duke is leaving the Trump administration after serving in the federal government for nearly 3 decades under both Republican and Democratic presidents.
But they all want to be in the White House. Another one buys the dust.
Hey. The Justice Department's third-ranking official, Associate Attorney General Rachel Brand, is resigning her post for a job in the private sector. Brand moved to depart after an unusually brief tenure in the post, just 8.5 months. She's expected to take a senior position at Walmart. Brand has been the focus of recent speculation since she could be abruptly elevated to take over management of the investigation into alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Breaking news today. Federal Railroad official resigns after linked to Mississippi PR firm, report. The acting chief of the Federal Railroad Administration resigned Saturday after a Westbite inquired whether he was moonlighting as a public relations consultant in Mississippi. The departure of Heath Hall came as the agency is dealing with investigations into recent deadly railroad crashes and amid Senate Democrats' efforts to block the appointment of a permanent leader for the frat, Politico reported. According to the website, Hall has been on an extended leave of absence from the frat, reportedly because of a family emergency. But since his appointment in June, he has worked for a public relations and political consulting firm in Madison County, Miss, despite having promised the firm would be dormant during his time at the frat, Politico reported. Records show the PR firm continued to receive payments from Madison County between July and December, Politico reported.
I know the best people. Another one buys the dust. Hey. Another one buys the dust.
According to a report by Business Insider, Roberta Jacobson, the United States ambassador to Mexico, announced her resignation on Thursday, claiming on Twitter that she would be resigning at the beginning of May in search of other opportunities. Jacobson wrote, quote, I do it knowing that the U.S.-Mexico relationship is strong and crucial and that the incredible team in our mission in Mexico will continue making sure that it is so. Jacobson is the latest high-profile departure from the State Department, which has lost many of its senior officials under Trump and failed to fill many of the vacancies left behind. In January, U.S. Ambassador to Panama John Feely, a career diplomat and retired Marine pilot, announced his resignation, stating that he did not feel he was able to serve Trump.
Another one buys the dust. So many people want to come in. I have a choice of anybody. I could take any position in the White House, and I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position. Everybody wants to be there. Many people want to come in. I have a choice of anybody. I could take any position in the White House, and I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position. Everybody wants to be there. And they love this White House because we have energy like rarely
before. NBC News confirming that White House Communications Director Mike Dubke is leaving the White House. That news was first reported. I just was actually reading it by the site that I've seen more than a few times recently, Axios. That's who first reported this. He reportedly tendered his resignation back on May 18th, but offered to stay.
know the best people.
State Department Special Representative for North Korea, Ambassador Joseph Yun, is leaving his post. The State Department lacks a permanent ambassador to Seoul, and the Assistant Secretary for East Asia is in place in an acting capacity and hasn't yet been confirmed. But with such a delicate conversation, a point person may help negotiations along, for CNN. Scholes.
Believe me, everybody wants to work in the White House.
Walks merrily down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah. Another one bites the dust.
They all want a piece of that Oval Office. They want a piece of
another
the West
one
Wing.
Bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey. I'm gonna get to do another one bites the dust.
A great place to work. It's got tremendous energy. They all want to be in the White House. So many people want to come in. I have a choice of anybody. I could take any position in the White House, and I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position. Everybody wants to be there. And they love this White House because we have energy like rarely before.
I know the best people.
We're going to use our best people.
Believe me, everybody wants to work in the White House.
This is Tom Savino from Burbank, California, saying be with us again next week and every Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time at 148.ca/1, SRN1 from Canada, and 24/7 at the Too Cool for School website, JuicedTalk.com. Remember, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Peace.
I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.